Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, a parable. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." It's an almost goes without saying but gets said anyway, but without a lot of thought, back and forth when someone does something nice for us or in some way is courteous. "Thank you. You're welcome." And on we go. You're welcome. If you parse that a little bit, there's some deep meaning. I mean, you are welcome to my gift because you're worth it. It's a very powerful and profound idea when you think of it for just a second. Different in an interesting way from the way we translate "thank you" and "you're welcome" from the Spanish, "gracias," which means "I am grateful for you," or in some way, graciousness. And the response that we translate "you're welcome" is "de nada," which literally means "it was nothing." That's about all the Espanol I know. It was nothing. And there's a sort of self-deprecating kind of humble charm with that. Oh, no problem. It was nothing at all. And yet, a lot of the things for which we're grateful are really something. And, you know, the cynic might say, "Well, if it was nothing, you could have done a little more." In the run-up to Thanksgiving this week, and in thinking of those things for which I am most grateful, it would be wrong for the one who gives these things to me to say it was nothing, because it was really something as far as I'm concerned. I think similarly, you know, the 10 lepers, and of course the purpose of that story in the New Testament is multidimensional. In one sense, Jesus is pointing out the fact that the one grateful person was the Samaritan, the one that was most outcast. That aside, I get the idea that once he realizes what's just happened to him, that this lifelong disease that has kept him not only physically separate from other people, but socially an outcast, and that suddenly he's not only healed of the physical malady, but he could go into a restaurant or whatever metaphorical place of that sort might have been in the first century. He could go to church. He was no longer unclean. And if someone were to say to him it was nothing, he would say, "No, it was not nothing. It was a big honking deal." And he runs back to Jesus, in a sense, goes a little bit nuts, like, "This was really something. Thank you." I've been thinking about the gifts for which I am most profoundly grateful this week. And I want to share some of that with you. I'm grateful for the abundance of God's creation, which almost sounds cliche, but I want to make it, I'm not almost a metaphorical object lesson. I want to talk about a tomato about which there is almost nothing better. When the first one you get is put into a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, you know, in August, and oh my gosh, you know. But when you cut open one of those things, which is interesting to me, is that they are full of seeds. And every single tomato has within it enough seeds to essentially fill this room with tomatoes. If you were to plant each one of those into a plant and harvest all the tomatoes, it wouldn't be long before we would be up to the ceiling. Which is, it's the way all of God's good things are given. You know, every little plant that brings forth a fruit, or a cotton bowl for one thing. You know, driving down this from Lubbock today, see the cotton fields, and I'm wearing a whole lot of cotton. Well, that's interesting. But the abundance of what comes from even one plant is almost reckless of God to shower this upon us, you know. And I think I come from the Midwest, and especially in small towns up there, there's this sort of custom that you never lock your car, because if you lock your car, you lock your keys in it, and the keys are only in it so you know where they are, so you don't lose them. That's the deal. But in August, you lock your car, because if you don't, somebody will leave a bag of tomatoes, because we've just got a million of them. Well, that's the metaphor for how abundant God's grace, love, and the fruits of the earth that come to us every day. To thank God for that, I wouldn't expect to hear Donata. It's a big deal. That's really something captured by one tomato. I've also marveled again this week, and this occurs to me fairly often, because it almost occurs to me every week in the run-up to my doing this, and that is my singular signature deal, the one thing that I do that I can do better than I do anything else and that seems to have some purpose. And I think all of us have a signature deal. Mine is I can give a 10-minute talk better than I can do anything else. Now, sometimes those 10-minute talks aren't that great, but this is what I do. And when I work at Texas Tech, a 10-minute talk times 9 is an hour and a half lecture. It's how I make a living. It's how I contribute. And I will have to tell you that I have no idea sometimes how these ideas come to me. In thinking of this moment and the task that I am charged to do at this time on this day, Friday, I thought, I am nowhere. And I put myself in a position where I simply tried to clear my mind of other things. And I went from nowhere to done in 5 minutes. That came from without. This thing that I do that's my signature deal is the result of being gifted in a way. That, for better or worse, it's the only thing I know how to do that seems to be, well, it seems to be marketable. And my point is this. Everybody this week may want to consider, what is your signature deal? What is it that you do better than you do anything else? And how does that enable you to be of service? For that, I am grateful. You know, when I'm in the middle of doing this, or in the middle of teaching at Tech, it sometimes occurs to me, like, I have no idea how this is working, but thank you, it is not no big deal. It is really something that this is my deal. So I'm grateful for that. Thirdly, I'm grateful for, well, it's what we're all grateful for, the gift of love and the generous love that we experience in the company of other people, but of a particular kind. Not the sort of, well, I will love you if you give a great 10-minute talk, or I will love you if you, you know, do whatever it is. Now, it's not love if, it's love anyway. It's not love if, it's love anyway, and that's the experience that we have, if not always, certainly from time to time. There are people in my life who love me anyway, which is stunning. It's not hard at all for me to think about a moment where 10, 20, 30 years ago, I did, said, or failed to do something that hurt someone I love very much. Because, hey, home is where you go to be your nastiest. Isn't that at least partially true? And yet these same people whom my doing or undoing has caused them great pain still love me, and they're still in my life, for which I am beyond words grateful. Well, what's all of this mean at the end? I think that the experience of owning and expressing gratitude takes us one step more. The West Texas musical group, the Flatlanders, are gifted people. Butch Hancock has a singular gift that is his main deal, and that is he puts words together. He is a wordsmith beyond reproach. And one of his signature songs is West Texas Waltz, sort of a funny, fizzy little song with some interesting meaning at the end. And toward the end, he says in the lyrics, only two things better than milkshakes and malts. One's to dance like the Dickens to the West Texas Waltz. What's the other one? He tells you, he says. And the other, it's something. But really, it's nothing to speak of, de nada. The other is something, but really, it's nothing to speak of. It's something to do. It's something to do. That, it strikes me, is what comes next when we consider and express our gifts and our gratitude for them. It's something to do. Let's go back to the metaphor of the tomato. This would be a good week to find a can of tomatoes someplace and give it to the You Can Share food drive or some such thing. Some expression of gratitude through charity and generosity. When you honestly own your signature deal, the thing you do that contributes, it almost compels you to recognize that everybody has one of those. And to maybe even learn what somebody's signature deal is. Thank them for it. Thank God for them. Find out what maybe hidden gifts there are in people that at first blush don't look especially gifted. We all are. We've all got a deal. Find out what that is as a way of giving thanks for what it is that you've got. And the experience of love. You can only experience it again by giving it away. And you can only find warrant to give it away when you get in the middle of that sometimes response we don't think about very much. You're welcome. You are welcome to what God has given. You are welcome to the experience of love. I think of what it must have been like for Jesus himself as he emerged from the tomb in the garden and encountered one-on-one, which is a metaphor for how he encounters all of us one-on-one. He encounters one-on-one his close friend Mary Magdalene, who doesn't recognize him right away. But suddenly when she does, she goes a little bit nuts and says, "Oh, thank you." To which Jesus might have thought about saying it was nothing, but he wouldn't have thought about it for very long because it was a huge deal. Death on the cross. 3 days in hell. It was lonely, isolating, painful, alienating, estranging. And he comes out, and the first person he sees goes a little bit nuts. And he said, "Yeah, that was really something, wasn't it?" I think he probably did say, "It was really something." And you know why? Because you're worth it. And when you know again you're worth it, you can pass it along and love. Not just if, but anyway, because they're worth it, because you're worth it. Amen.